Hello all, and welcome back to Write Up Your Algae. I'm your co-host Clara.
I'm Emily.
Today I wanted to talk about something really neat I did when I was away this winter in Vietnam. When I was planning my trip, I came across this sanctuary located only 9 kilometers outside of one of Vietnam's national parks, Cuc Phuong National Park, which is in the northern part of Vietnam. Today I just want to first talk about the company that runs this sanctuary. Then I will talk about the animals that reside there. As quoted from the website, Four Paws is the global animal welfare organization for animals under direct human influence, which reveals suffering, rescues animals in need, and protects them. Our vision is a world where humans treat animals with respect, empathy, and understanding. This organization was founded by Healy Dungler, who was born on November 18, 1963, in Austria. As a youth, he enjoyed taking care of small injured animals and nursing them back to health. This love for animals continued to blossom into his later years, and on March 4th, 1988, Healy officially founded the Four Paws Organization in response to cruel treatment of animals in the late 80s, including those conditions on fur farms and circuses. In its infancy, the Four Paws Organization focused its efforts in Austria, specifically those conditions in fur farming, hens in cages, and wild animal circuses in Austria. However, he did not want to stop there and ended up taking his mission of animal protection to the international stage. And in 1994, he did just that with the first project in Bucharest and then another in Hamburg the same year. From there, the organization took off, and today there are 15 offices worldwide and many sanctuaries in countries including Australia, Austria, Belgium, Bulgaria, France, Germany, Kosovo, the Netherlands, South Africa, Switzerland, Thailand, Ukraine, United Kingdom, the United States of America, and Vietnam. They have established many sanctuaries, with the first being the Bear Sanctuary in Austria, formed in 1998 for abused bears. Each location is dedicated to a different animal. These include lions, owls and birds of prey, bears, orangutans, tigers, foxes, badgers, wildcats, hares, raccoons, dormice, hedgehogs, spotted hyenas, wolves, ferret monkeys, baboons, and more, all of which either were placed there due to medical reasons, illegal trading, or industry.
Clara, are you team orangutan or orangutan?
I know one is correct. And the other is not, but however I said it, I think I should just say
I do continue the orangutan rather than
Yeah.
the orangutan, even though I know better.
Yeah, I know better too, but orangutan sounds,
It's kind of fun.
it sounds better, honestly. Okay. This organization stands for animal welfare and against the human activities that has negative effects on the animals they aim to protect. The most recent sanctuary was opened in 2017 in Vietnam. Although they opened it in 2016, the first bear they rescued was in 2017, and the organization Four Paws Viet was established in 2014. So those dates are kind of all over the place. When arriving to the sanctuary in Vietnam, they told me it was a choice between tigers and bears, but they could only pick one, and that was the bear. The Socialist Republic of Vietnam is in Southeast Asia, with a human population totaling over 100 million and a landmass of 331,000 square kilometers. It is the 15th most populous country, according to my very reliable source of Wikipedia. The country is home to many different beautiful landscapes, from limestone caves to dense tropical forests to the highest peak in Indochina, 3,143 meters above sea level, that I went to, and it was like pretty epic. Vietnam is also the 16th most biologically diverse country on Earth, with more than 50,000 species, including approximately 20,000 plants, 10,500 terrestrial animals, and 13,000 fish, invertebrates, and marine species. However, it is not to say, like most places, there is a lot of biodiversity loss from agriculture, illegal trading, infrastructure development, and other activities that are required to care for a growing population. Even so, people wish to see the biodiversity succeed. And with the help from the Four Paws Organization in Ninh Binh Province in Vietnam, it is making it happen for not only one bear species, but two. The sanctuary in Ningbing is only located about 9 kilometers from the Chukfeng National Park. And like I said before, Four Paws Viet was established in 2014, with the first bear being rescued in 2017, and has since been home to 49 bears, including one sun bear, and the rest being the Asiatic black bears. So let's talk about these two species of bears, especially because they are much different than the bears that we have here in North America. So, just as kind of an overview, there are eight species of bears, including the giant panda, which is endangered, the sun bear, listed as vulnerable, Asiatic black bear, listed as vulnerable, sloth bear, which is also vulnerable, Andean bear, vulnerable, polar bear, vulnerable, brown bear, of least concern, and American black bear, again, least concern, according to the IUCN. The two species that are present in Vietnam are the sun bear and the Asiatic black bear. Very little is known about the population of these bears in Vietnam, and not much has been done to study the ecology of these species. I collected all or most of the information from an ecology study in 2016, which was a technical report by Crudge et al., as this is the only report that I could find about the current population of bears in Vietnam. The study looks at sites including 10 national parks, 10 natural nature reserves, one proposed nature reserve, and one species and habitat conservation area. This study also used local ecological knowledge as to increase the impact. This included interviews with 1,441 people in 106 villages. The range of the Asiatic black bear spans through Southeast Asia except Malaysia and Singapore. There are also clusters of Asiatic black bear in China, very eastern Russia, and North Korea, and some small populations in South Korea, Iran, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and southern islands in Japan. The Vietnamese word for the bear is. This is where I need for this meeting. One second. FaceTime peaches. Hi, sweetie.
What's up?
Okay, so how do I pronounce the Asiatic black bear again?
What?
Asiatic black bear?
Asiatic black
It's
bear. Which one is that?
the horse bear?
Go.
Go?
Go.
Ngh. Okay, I'll call you back in a bit.
Right.
Bye. Go, ngh, or horse bear. The Asiatic black bear averages 40 to 200 kilograms in weight, and in the wild can live up to 25 years. They can be distinguished from the North American black bear because of the crescent moon on their chests, although sometimes it's not always present. There are also rarer types of these bears that display a blonde color throughout. In fact, there was one at the Ningbing Sanctuary, and I'll be posting that on our Instagram. These species do display sexual dimorphism, with the males being larger than females. As well, they are very good climbers, using their 5-centimeter-long claws to climb, as well as using their heel pads. And it is primarily believed that these species are solitary. The females reach sexual maturity at 4 to 5 years of age and can give birth to between 1 and 3 cubs at a time. The cubs stay with their mom for about 1.5 years. Their diet shifts seasonally, but they are omnivores. They eat things including acorns, animals, succulent plants, soft mast, hard mast, soft fruits, cinnamon, berries, young bamboo shoots, insects, date palms, apricots, figs, and walnuts, depending on their region. So now let's talk about the sun bear. And I don't know if you've seen the video of the sun bear at the zoo that looked like a human in a bear suit.
I absolutely have, Clara.
But they look exactly like that. And
Maybe they're all conspiring.
I don't
Are we
know.
sure? Have we ever seen a sun bear?
I have.
Are we sure it was a sun bear, though?
Absolutely, we were sure. And it has been confirmed by one of my favorite podcasts, Tooth and Claw, that yes, in fact, it was a sun bear and not a human in a bear suit. So, sun bears in Vietnamese are called go cha, or this translates to puppy bear. And when you take a look at a sun bear, that's it. You can see exactly why they're called that. They're much smaller than the Asiatic black bear, and they're super cute, just like a puppy. Sun bears have less range than the Asiatic black bear. Their habitat is extremely fragmented and has led to extirpation in many areas of Southeast Asia. Sun bears share much of their habitat with the Asiatic black bear and extend into Bangladesh and Northeast India, as far as the Yunnan province in China. However, the populations in China and Bangladesh is currently thought to be very unlikely. There is relatively little known about sun bears in the wild. However, in captivity, they can live up to 36 years. Their skulls are much larger than other bears, but they do have a smaller snout. They also have the longest tongue of any species of bears, and it can reach up to 46 centimeters. That is almost 6 credit cards in length.
6 credit cards is a very interesting way to describe
Well,
it.
it's because when I was looking up real world examples of centimeters, the only one it provided was credit cards. So we all have a credit card. If you can think of a credit card or a debit card and put 6 of them together, that's how long their tongues can be.
Length or
Length.
oh.
Or you can think about it as a ruler and a half.
Ruler and a half. Yeah, that's a long tongue.
Yeah.
What do they use that tongue for?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. They also have a short and sleek coat, which is black and yellow. So, unlike the Asiatic black bears, they're not fluffy. They also have a large amount of skin on their body, creating rolls, and that's why they can get mistaken for humans in a bear suit. They are very good tree climbers, and this helps them source their food, which they also use their tongue for, like breaking into bees' nests to get honey. They are generalist omnivores, with their diet largely consisting of honey and insects, again using their long tongues to extract larvae and insects. As well, they also eat fruits such as figs, sugar palm, oil palm, pineapple, sweet corn, cucumber, pumpkin, sesame, maize, coconut, apple, durian, banana, jackfruit, and snake fruit. It is also important to note that they're generally not seen eating anything larger than insects. However, on the rare occasion next to those agricultural areas, they can eat chicken and goats. So, what are the threats to these bears? Well, over the last 30 years, sun bear populations have declined by 30%, while the Asiatic black bear populations have declined by 31%. But why is this happening? What historical action has caused this collapse? Emily, can you give me any predictions?
I'm gonna go with habitat loss.
Sure. So of course we see that across
Classic example.
Of course we see across the board for many species that deforestation, habitat loss, degradation of habitat quality, illegal logging, agriculture, and forestry are all causes of biodiversity loss. These threats are seen in almost every country around the world. And without restriction on land conservation, we will continue to see declines in population sizes for many different species. However, there's also another industry that has been historically responsible for the collapse of the bear populations in Southeast Asia, and this is the bear bile industry. The trading and hunting of bears, either legal or illegal, is fueled by the traditional medicine demand in some parts of Southeast Asia. Now, to be totally transparent, I wasn't aware of the issue before I went to Vietnam and learned more about it at the Ninh Binh Bear Sanctuary. So let's talk about what this industry entails. And no pun intended there. Entrails? Okay, so as a direct quote from the Kruge et al. Analysis on the bear status in Vietnam, bile is a liquid produced in the liver and stored in the gallbladder of many vertebrate species. Bear bile has been used in traditional medicine for over 1,000 years in the treatment of sore throats, sores, hemorrhoids, sprains, bruising, muscle ailments, epilepsy, and liver disease. And I found another source that said it has been practiced for about like 1,300 years. So quite a long time. The only known therapeutic component of bile is ursodeoxycholic acid, which, although found in bile of other mammals, is the most concentrated in the bile of bears. Despite the availability of synthetic ursodeoxycholic acid and over 50 effective herbal alternatives, bear bile and bile products remain in high demand. And again, this was from 2016. The Ningbing Bear Sanctuary has the main goal to rescue bears that are kept in the cages for the farming of bear bile, and also to intercept bears from illegal trading. The farming of bear bile was a method that was developed in North Korea in the 1970s and further accepted and exploited by the Chinese government in the mid-1980s, aimed to decrease the killing of wild bears and instead extract repeatedly the bile from living bears. And they do this so frequently that sometimes it happens once a day. However, as one can predict, this method has severe consequences on the bear itself. The bears, however, are still being sourced from the wild, contributing to illegal trading. In Vietnam, the number of bears in these farms continued to decrease from the peak that was seen in 2005, where almost 5,000 bears were in captivity. Bears that are kept in these farms are in extremely small cages. They are malnourished and lack enrichments that all bears require. The process to extract bile from these bears include a painful and invasive technique. The bears rarely receive proper medication and/or veterinary care. As well, there are several chronic diseases and infections that these bears face. And I'm just going to quote from a paper from Bandeau et al. In 2019, to cite all the diseases that these bears encounter. Husbandry conditions on bear bile farms include small cage confinement, severely restricting mobility, poor hygiene, inappropriate nutrition, and lack of provisions of veterinary care. Numerous health issues have been identified in bears removed from bile farms, including but not limited to emaciation, bile extraction site infections, abdominal hernias, cholecystitis, gallbladder polyps, cholelithiasis, abdominal abscess, septicemia, and peritonitis. Additionally, clinical findings include abnormal behaviors and severe stereotype B, fractured teeth, spondylosis, and degenerative joint disease, and missing digits, paws, or limbs, presumably from snare traps. Leading causes of death in previously bile-farmed bears are hepatobiliary mesoplasia, hind limb paralysis, and deteriorating mobility and cardiovascular disease, including congestive heart failure and aortic aneurysm rupture/dissection. I apologize in advance, or I guess behind advance, for all my mispronunciations, but the quote continues on saying, "Bile farmed bears are thought to have a greater prevalence and severity of disease, including comorbidities than expected for most captive bears, and the types of disease, such as ruptured aortic aneurysm, appear unusual for bear species in general." End of quotation. So obviously there's a lot of diseases and issues that these bears encounter while in captivity. The conditions that they're kept under are cruel, and they're not up to code at all. These diseases can cause the early death of these animals. And although it is currently estimated that there's less than 200 bears in captivity now in Vietnam, it is important that we protect wild and farmed bears from the abuse that they are currently facing in the bear bile industry. At Ningbing Sanctuary, they aim to educate the public and advocate for the bears. Their mission includes providing refuge for rescue bears, rescuing and rehabilitating bears that are rare and endangered in Vietnam, educating on biodiversity, developing conservation attractions that show how to respect wildlife and live in harmony with nature, care for abandoned pets and animals, work with local organizations and wildlife organizations to communicate their mission. The bears have to either be voluntarily surrendered by their quote-unquote owners or intercepted from illegal trading, like their one and only sun bear, Anuk. Once the bears are rescued, they are placed in a 3-week quarantine where they not only undergo extensive medical treatment, but they are also quarantined to become accustomed to their new living conditions and diet, and to stop the transfer of disease to the other bears that inhabit the sanctuary. The team works tirelessly to ensure that the new routine for the bears improves includes proper diet and medicine for any disease they are suffering. They perform thorough examinations, including ultrasounds, blood pressure measurements, x-rays, and dental extractions and treatments. As well, if the bear requires more intensive care for their injuries, they will perform things such as amputations. The sanctuary also tries to simulate a wild environment by placing food throughout the enclosures so the bears have to look or hunt for additional snacks throughout the day on top of their regular feedings. As well, some of their enrichment activities include sensory, cognitive, social, physical habitat, and food. They ensure that the bears are comfortable in their enclosures by monitoring their behaviors. And I know this is going to sound like me anthropomorphizing these bears, but some bears don't get along with others, and therefore they're placed in enclosures with bears that they're friendly with. When enclosures are being built, the team works to have complexity so that there's space for bears to forage, climb, dig, swim, play, hide, and rest. Their work is making a real change. The sanctuary allows for bears to engage in enrichment with proper nutrition and enjoy the rest of their days to the best of their ability. The sanctuary acknowledges that although this is not the wild, that these bears would have lived in if they hadn't been placed into the farming industry, it is the best chance that they will have to live a better life. They make it very clear at the Ningbing Sanctuary that the bears can choose. I encourage everybody to listen to some of the YouTube videos that the Ningbing Bear Sanctuary has to offer and the work they do there. As well, this sanctuary provides completely vegetarian menu, and this includes for the bears as well. It's important to note that when these bears are in captivity, their diet is mainly soy and waste, so it's not a healthy diet, and the bears can either be malnourished or completely overweight. So this healthy diet of just vegetables gives them it gives them all the nutrients that they need. Before we get into trivia, I would just like to read a few stories about the bears at the sanctuary that were found on some of the boards along the skywalk. So, Ngai. Ngai is a shy and sensitive bear who has overcome adversity to thrive in our sanctuary. Ngai excels when paired up with the right bear. For the longest time, Bear Ngai and Kyo were inseparable. Bear Kyo was her ardent protector. We observed improvement in Ngai's rehabilitation when paired with Kyo. Sadly, Kyo died in May 2021, and Ngai suffered. In mourning at the sudden loss, Ngai spent most of her time a forlorn figure in her outside enclosure. Seldom would she return to the dens. Our bear team adjusted Ngai's rehabilitation to include integration with another bear, The, with the hope of forging the same special bond. The was another smaller female bear struggling to find true companionship. On introduction, The showed no aggressive behavior towards Ngai, but Ngai was far less convinced. Even though the pair shared an enclosure, Ngai continued to spend days hiding in the outside tunnels, only to emerge after dark to forage. To create an optimal environment, we moved Ngai into a quieter bear house. Over time, Ngai's confidence grew exponentially. Settling into routines, stereotyping decreased significantly. Another milestone came when we observed her and The rolling around and playing together. Ngai was bonding to The just as she had with Kyo. Ngai had found her emotional support bear, and they are now never more than a few meters apart. The next is Un. Bear Un was rescued on the 11th of February 2022 from a bear farm in Dingdong province, along with two other bears, Wei and Nui. All three bears were terribly emaciated, and Un only weighed 50 kilograms. Before our rescue, Un had a challenging life. She was unable to move around freely and could only manage by hopping on three legs, missing not only her paw but her lower third of her leg. The bottom part of Un's leg had no muscle to act as cushioning or hair to protect it. Since Bear Un became more active in the new enclosure, the skin became raw and painful, with an opened lesion that proved unable to heal. Cognizant of the high risk of bone infection, our veterinarians determined the best course of action was to amputate the leg to the upper part of Un's femur. Post-surgery, Un showed extreme resilience and courage and began moving well on three legs again. To provide the best standard of care for Bear On, we modified her living space appropriately for her needs. Our bear caretakers and facilities team moved her to an outside enclosure with flatter terrain and redesigned her platform and pool specifically for use with three legs. It is another way we tailor our care for individual bears' needs, and Anne has thrived since. And the last one I just want to quickly talk about is Bear Seng. So the poster that this was on was about the noise control within the sanctuaries, just to remind people to stay quiet. So they said, Bear Seng was the inspiration for this following installation. All bears in our care are special, but female Asiatic black bear Seng is distinguished more so due to her appearance. As you can see, and you'll see in our Instagram, Seng's coat on her head and paws are golden colored. Asiatic black bears commonly have black fur with crescent moon shaped white chest patch. Other colors are extremely rare, and Seng is the first bear we have rescued with such distinguished coloring. Hardly any scientific research is available on these rare gold-colored bears. However, genetic analysis that were done show that there are no new species or subspecies, but a color variety of a traditional black coat. Along with her lighter fur, Seng also stands out for her missing front paw. According to her former owner, she lost her paw when she was caught in the wild with a trap. Captive bears with missing paws are unfortunately a common sight in Vietnam. After more than a decade of being imprisoned in a tiny cage, Seng was rescued on November 2020, and she is now enjoying her new life at the Bear Sanctuary Ningbing to the fullest. She was very quick to explore her outdoor enclosure with a lot of confidence, like almost no other bear before. So that's just the story of some of the bears at the Ningbing Sanctuary, and currently there's 45 bears still living there, and they are so cute. And if you're ever in Vietnam, I would hit up the Ningbing Bear Sanctuary. It's in the northern part of Vietnam, but it's just a phenomenal place, and anything you buy there goes completely to the rehabilitation of the bears.
Even that nice tote bag you brought home for me?
Absolutely, and that's why I bought it, because all proceeds go to the bears. I spent way too much money there, but not really. Okay, so now moving on to everybody's favorite part. Trivia! Emily, when was the four paws Viet established in Vietnam?
2014.
Yes! Ding, ding, ding! How many species of bears are there?
In total or at the sanctuary?
In total.
Oh. Okay. There's the Andean. Sun bear. Asiatic black bear. Polar bear, brown bear. Grizzly bear? Is it six?
It is eight. The giant panda.
Oh!
The polar bear.
I can't believe I forgot the panda.
The Andean bear. Sloth bear,
sun bear,
Asiatic black bear, brown bear. Which one did I not say?
Black bear?
Oh, yeah, the North American black
bear. Or sun bear. Well, one
no,
of
I them. Said the sun bear. Oh, so there's the sun bear, the giant panda, Asiatic black bear, sloth bear, Andean bear, polar bear, brown bear, and American black bear. So, eight. Okay, this one, I didn't say in the episode, but let's see if you can guess. What is not one of the herbs that can be used to replace bear bile? Cinnamon, rhubarb, turmeric, safflower, mugwort. They can all be used.
What? Oh, which one can't?
Yeah.
Cinnamon.
They can all be used is the correct answer. So the Ningbing Bear Sanctuary grows 32 out of the 50 types of herbs that can be used to replace bear bile. And I'll also include a photo that I took from their medicinal garden to show the rest on our Instagram. Question 4. Do Asiatic black bears and sun bears hibernate in Vietnam?
No.
That's right. No, because in the tropics, they're not limited based on their food resources, such as they are in more northern parts of their range, including places in Russia. So the very last question today. How much does Clara love these bears? A, just a little bit. B, they're all right. C, I love them. D, I want to spend every waking moment with them.
What was B?
They are right.
I'm gonna go with D.
Yes. Ding, ding.
Okay, Clara, get ready. We've got a new segment coming out today. So, I have decided to title this segment Dirty Birds. Now, I don't know what soundbite we're gonna use for this. Don't look at my laptop. Look away. So, I'm going to give you the description of a living thing.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be a bird.
Okay.
Could be plant, animal, fungus, what have you. And the name that it has is a little bit silly,
Okay.
maybe even a little bit dirty. And you have to guess what the name of the living thing is
Okay.
based on my description
Okay.
and maybe a couple hints about the name. So, species name is Paris major. It is a member of the family Paridae, a family of songbirds. This bird has a two-part name, with the first part stemming from being the largest of the family, and the second part coming from the Old English word titmouse, meaning small bird.
Gee, I don't know.
Two-part name.
Two parts, so like.
First part means large. Second part stems from the word titmouse.
Big tits.
You are so close, but today we are describing the great tit, the largest member of the
Get one ready for your episode. Okay, so thank you, Emily, for that I would like to end off today's episode by thanking my wonderful boyfriend Zui for taking me to Vietnam. It was so much fun, and I'll be posting more wildlife photos on our Instagram at Write Up Your Algae Podcast. And this includes ones of the bears that I took and those that were sourced from the Ningbing Sanctuary Facebook page. If you have an episode idea or want to share an experience that you've had with wildlife, get in touch with us by DMing us on Instagram or sending us an email at ryapodcast@outlook.com. I hope to do another episode on these bears in the future, hopefully getting to talk to someone from the sanctuary to describe in more detail their experience with these bears. But until then, we hope this episode has been
Right
right up
up
your
your
algae.
algae.